Welcome to
You Haven't Seen.
I'm Debbie.
And I'm Ashley.
This is a podcast where we watch movies that everyone has seen but us, and then we talk about them. This month is December, which means it's Christmas.
Christmas!
Oh my goodness, so we're doing Christmas movies. Oh my.
Lots and lots of Christmas movies.
Because it's after Thanksgiving in the States now, which means it's officially Christmas time.
Officially Christmas.
We're excited. We are doing a movie that neither of us have seen today, and so we are watching the original Miracle on 34th Street, which I have never watched. I've given it a try a few times, but I got bored, so that's why I haven't seen all of it. Ashley, how about you?
I have never seen the original. I have a vague recollection of seeing the new one.
Okay.
When I was a kid.
I did not know there was a new one. I know is that it's about Santa Claus.
Yeah, I think the new one has Matilda.
Okay.
Has the kid that played Matilda. And I really liked her.
Okay.
So I was like, oh, cool. And
it's at Macy's, right?
Yeah, it's 34th Street.
I don't know what street Macy's is on. I'm never in Midtown.
It's Herald Square.
34th? Yeah, I don't know what street Herald Square is.
All right.
I did know that, actually, because I know that Penn Station. Okay, got it. Never mind.
Basically, it's about a guy who looks like Santa Claus.
Yeah. Oh, shall I read the IMDb blurb? When a nice old man who claims to be Santa Claus is institutionalized as insane, a young lawyer decides to defend him by arguing in court that he is the real thing. This was directed by George Seaton?
Sure. Maureen O'Hara.
Maureen O'Hara.
Which I don't know why that name's so hard for me to say. I think she's a kid. Yeah? No. She's a mom.
She's Doris Walker.
Oh, no. Natalie Wood's a kid.
Natalie Wood. Yeah, Natalie Wood's a kid. Edmund Gwen is Kris Kringle. Oh, I forgot that that's the name for Santa Claus. Kris Kringle. It's adorable. Also, Gene Lockhart and John Payne are who star in this. Yeah, honestly, that's all I know about this.
Yeah,
it's a classic, though.
It is a classic.
I've never seen it. I haven't seen a lot of, the classic Christmas movies.
Neither have I, because they're boring.
Yeah.
But,
I've seen, the classic animated ones.
Well, those are good.
Yeah.
Right? Miracle... Half the people just turned off right now. They're not boring, Claire.
No, it's not that they're bad. It's just,
But they are... the problem I have with Christmas movies, and the problem that I have with a lot of the movies that we're going to be doing in the upcoming year, especially, but more particularly Christmas music, is I feel like they are such a part of pop culture that I'm a little bit with Miracle on 34th Street, I know what happens. With It's a Wonderful Life, George Bailey tries to jump off the bridge. Oh, every time a bell rings, an angel gets... I feel like I know it to the point where I could legit sit
where
down...
Where it's it's so...
And walk through it.
Green. Yeah, just readers, in case you're interested, the choices that we had for this one was Miracle on 34th Street or It's a Wonderful Life. Yeah.
And we chose Miracle on 34th Street because...
Of Macy's and Santa.
We are going to go see Macy's. We're going to go see Macy's.
We always
go see Macy's.
We go look at the holiday windows.
So and then we go see Santa at Macy's.
Yeah.
So this is the real Santa that we see every year.
Yes.
And by every year, I mean last year.
Last year, we told him we wanted alcohol and world peace and visas to London.
And Wi-Fi. Someone said Wi-Fi.
Yeah, someone said Wi-Fi. We didn't get... any of those things.
I did. I asked for safe travel. I asked for no plane delays.
Oh, that's right. You actually asked for something real.
Right. And I asked for that every single time I go see Santa. I'm like, please don't delay my flights. But actually, my flight got delayed 2 days coming back. So, Santa.
You know what? Maybe he just knew we hadn't watched this movie yet. Must be it. Okay, we should just watch
it. I mean, I technically got the Christmas gift. It was the New Year's Eve gift. New Year's baby screwed up on that one.
Yeah. Because
it was after New Year's.
Oh, man, do you remember that stop motion? I'm Mr. Green Christmas.
Yeah.
That's, I love that.
Thought there was going to be some kind of expounding of information.
No, there's no point. Oh. I just really like the stop motion ones.
Yeah.
I'm Mr. Green Christmas.
Snow Miser.
Yes!
And Heat Miser.
Yes.
Yeah.
Those are their names.
Yeah. Those are their names.
Oh my god. We should just start watching this. Because cool. This is going off the rails quickly.
It's good. Yes. All right.
So we are going to go watch the original Miracle on 34th Street. You can buy this on Amazon Video. It's $2.99 for SD, $3.99 for HD. Woo! And we're back!
We're back!
And okay, first off of that, I enjoyed that a lot more than I thought I would.
My heart grew 2 sizes.
I had that written down later. I said our heart grew 10 sizes at one point. Oh my goodness. And I think that I was not expecting their social commentary, so much of it, to still be true.
Yeah?
Yeah. Just people are still complaining about commercialism. People are still complaining politicians are crazy. Just, like, so much of it. I was like, yeah, not a lot has changed since 1947. So that was nice that it wasn't, like, outdated social commentary, that there was still stuff I could agree upon. All right.
Starts with the Thanksgiving Day Parade.
Yes, which we just went to. Still the same.
The production values have increased.
Yes.
There was no drunk Santa.
There was no drunk Santa. Well, we don't know that. There was no passed out drunk Santa.
Yeah, no, he seemed lively. Okay. We were at the start of the parade.
We were at the start of the parade, that's true. I just thought, I didn't realize that part of, like, Santa's thing was that he has a whip.
How do you think the reindeer go?
Like, he has the reins, and he just cracks the reins. I didn't realize he had a whole separate rip.
But no, he didn't even have the reins. The reins weren't on the thing because of the way that the float is.
Oh, okay.
It's just so the whip.
No, but when I always see Santa, he's always like, he snaps the reins. Well, a whip.
2000 Santa?
Yeah, that's true.
I think has reins.
2014 Santa, it would be animal abuse. But 1947 Santa, it's fine. Yeah. But I was just like, oh my gosh. Like, this poor reindeer.
And I don't
Kris Kringle.
The whip doesn't really hit the deer.
No,
it's just the
like
crack.
In theory, yeah, the crack of it. And it is all on the wrist. He was right.
It's just the whip crack.
Yep. But so that was unexpected. So
we're introduced to Doris Walker.
Yes, who runs the parade. And so she fires drunk Santa, gets real Santa, and then goes home and gets a hefty dose of realism from her kid.
I think she started the hefty dose of realism, but that kid was like 7 going on 57.
Well, she said she was, okay, in second grade, but it's a progressive school, so she should be in first grade. So she's like, how old are first graders?
I don't know. I knew you were going to ask that question, and I was like,
no, that's,
you're
think,
acting like we
I think
both
she,
know this.
I think she would be around, like, 6 or 7.
Okay.
Because...
So, my initial statement
okay, sorry, no, yeah, your initial statement is correct. Sorry, never mind. I thought kids were like, no, they should be 11, and then I did the math, and I'm like, no, she should be right. Okay. So, yeah.
I don't know, but I will say, she is definitely a child.
Yes.
Who acts and talks like she
like
is...
Like an adult.
Right, and not like
more mature than we are. That's for sure.
Right, like she's just saying, I don't play. I don't.
Yeah.
What? Like, why? Why are we enjoying this parade? Why is this here? I'm like, kid, it's fun.
Kid, yeah.
Like, I don't think that kid, like, a good night in for that kid would be like, I read a book.
Yeah. Which is okay. There's nothing wrong with reading.
But like a biography.
Oh, okay.
A World War II.
Yeah. No, this kid probably reads the encyclopedia.
Yeah.
Okay.
This kid would definitely. If she wasn't at a progressive school, she would definitely get bullied.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Because she wasn't even that nice. Like, she was uppity.
No. Yeah, she was uppity. Too good to play with the other kids because she's not an animal.
Right.
But we'll get to that later. But, so she's watching the parade with her neighbor, and they're in cahoots where everyone is like, okay, neighbor's going to get with the mom.
I don't know.
Everyone's playing matchmaker here.
I don't know if the kid is playing matchmaker.
I guess that's true.
Or, because she never, like, says, like, I want a new dad. Or, I want Mr. Gailey to be my dad.
That's
She's,
true.
Like, Mr. Gailey is, like,
I think
ask your mom
to
let me come to Thanksgiving. He's the one that's like, hey, you want to go to
that's
the park?
That's true. I think that she's just, like, she likes hanging out with this man because she's a little adult. So it's like, okay, she has an adult friend. And then, oh, he wants to hang out with my mom. That sounds like a great idea. We can all get along. But
yeah, it was weird. Like, a normal plot would be that she's, like, trying to get them together. But she just seems...
She wants a house. She wants real estate, not a dad.
Right, like, yeah, she's like, no, it's just me and my mom in this house.
Yeah.
I don't care if this guy joins us.
that'd be great. I like them, but it's right. not like she's not asking Santa for a new dad. She's asking Santa for a house.
Yeah.
But I did think it was a little creepy that the neighbor was like, the surest way to meet the mom is through the kid. So I'm going to befriend this little child because I got the hots for the mom.
And that is weird, yes, but I assume that if they're next-door neighbors, they have had some kind of dialogue.
I mean, that's true. I just thought it was weird how blatantly it is weird. He said it. I was like, okay, Mr. I mean, he's not wrong. No. And it's not like, he's not a creepy person. No. Because he actually does talk to a little girl like an adult, you know?
Yes. Like, incredulous.
Yeah.
But like an adult.
Yes.
So he's cool. And he gets invited to Thanksgiving dinner.
Yeah. Which... The way where it's like, oh, can he come? And he goes, oh, no, it's fine. I'll have a sandwich or something. Like, well, okay, way to look pathetic, mister. They gotta invite you now. You're gonna have a sandwich on Thanksgiving. Like, good grief.
So, yes,
of course he gets invited.
Hey, that guy works his game.
Yeah. But then they show the shot of Santa Claus at, where does the parade end? Where all those people were.
At Macy's.
At Macy's? Mm-hmm. Okay. But I was just, like, looking at the crowd, and it just reminded me why I have no desire to ever go to Times Square for, like, New Year's or anything like that.
Oh, yeah.
Just, like, it reminded me of, like, why I have no desire to go to Times Square for New Year's, or just, like, oh, let's go to the end of the parade. No.
But it is cool, though. I have gone to the Macy's window unveilings.
Oh, really?
At Christmas.
How crowded is that?
It wasn't that bad. But it's really cool because they, like, walk out on top of the Macy's sign and they, like, talk and stuff. And last year, Elf was there.
Okay, that is cool.
And it was really cool. And then they, like, take down the windows and you get to see the windows for the first time. And it's just a really festive atmosphere.
That's pretty neat.
But it's just cool to see them on the Macy's sign, which is where he was.
Looking at it from above, though, like, just looking
at that was terrifying.
People may be entirely, like, so claustrophobic. And I don't get claustrophobic easily.
Yeah.
But looking at that at all, I was thinking, like, someone's going to get trampled. This is madness.
No, that was
like
terrifying.
Ants.
It wasn't that bad, but, and they had free hot chocolate.
So we all got
free hot chocolate.
Oh,
it's lovely. It was lovely. The windows were cool.
Yeah.
And then they turn on the lights.
Was it like last year's where it was like creepy, like Sheldon went on an adventure through the Macy's windows last year? Do you remember that?
Yes. No. This was the year before.
It was better.
Yeah. This is in, yeah.
Yeah. So Macy's, like, you can't set the bar lower for your windows this year, to be perfectly honest.
I was there the year, Yes Virginia, like, really took off.
Oh, okay.
So.
All right.
I was in the Yes Virginia parade. Like, all that stuff. But the Macy's windows are cool, but it was terrifying.
Yeah.
Like, it was, it did look really crowded.
Yeah. But, okay, so then she ends up hiring Kris Kringle to the Santa Claus at Macy's, and then he starts talking to Alfred in the basement.
Alfred,
who I have written down, is too good for this world.
He is too good for this world. He was amazing.
He was amazing. And it just made me think, like, it just, watching this movie just makes me think, or just realize that, like, wow, we've gotten cynical. Because, I don't know, I started getting bored in the middle of the movie. And I was like, I bet when this came out, you know, I'm sure there were some cynical people. But not probably nearly as many. I don't know.
I feel like, I don't know, whenever I hear, like, oh, it was so better back then, it's like, well, no, people are people.
It, like, makes me wonder if it, because then they were still complaining about all the same things, so was it really better?
Right, and it's like when people say, like, oh, everyone's on their cell phones. Well, everyone was reading the magazine or listening to the radio. Like, there are common vices.
They just got out of World War II. People probably weren't that optimistic. I mean, I don't know. But, it just, like, food for thought for it, because I kept wondering, like, I want to see some data about how many cynical people there are, but that data doesn't exist. But it's just, like, it just made me wonder. I need to ask my grandparents about this movie, because they would probably have an opinion on that. We need to do some market research.
Okay.
Actually. We need to ask the grandparents.
Yeah.
What's next? Okay, so now we're at Macy's, and he's talking...
To Alfred. Oh, the best part was when Alfred came on screen, you turned to me and said, he's gonna die. And I was like, that was the best moment.
Well,
because in all the movies we have seen, the one that we all like is the one that's
died.
Dead.
I'm so used to everyone's favorite character dying.
But
like, that's the point of thought now where it's like, oh, this guy's a nice person. He's probably gonna die. Don't get too attached to him.
When you say everyone's favorite character, you mean your favorite character.
I like the nice people.
But the rest of us are like, wait, that guy from 2 hours ago? And you're like, yeah, the one who said favorite. Thank you.
No. I just think, okay, you can't deny that when you, like, especially, like, the blockbuster movies today where it's like, oh, this one's a nice person. He's gone. He's a goner. He's gonna die. Yeah, and then I thought, like, Santa does the thing... Okay, whenever I see someone in the service industry cleaning up at another table and it's like, you have a piece of trash, I always feel so incredibly awkward to, like, you know, leave something on the table, like, draw something when they can see me. Like, at work, when they're entering the trash bins, I always wait until they, like, take the trash bags away if I have garbage before I go throw it in, because it just seems rude to me. I probably overthink this way too much. But then Santa Claus has, like, a piece of paper that he ripped up, and he asks Alfred, who is sweeping the same patch of
floor
five times, like, what should I do with this? And Alfred's like, oh, put it on the ground. I get tired of sweeping up just dust. And I was like, this is so cringeworthy, awkward, and maybe that's just, like, my own social hindrances. But I was like, don't do it, Chris. Don't put it on the ground as he's sweeping the floor. Like, don't.
But the thing is, Alfred, while being too good for this world, he was really crappy at sweeping.
Yeah, I know. He, like, kept going back and forth over the same stretch of floor.
Like, that was just awkward blocking. Like, that was, I felt like the director was like, don't move. And he's like, ah, I won't.
It's like, Alfred should have had a different job.
Yeah.
Come on.
But yeah, Alfred was awesome.
Yep. And then, okay, so now we get to see Santa Claus in action. But the first kid he talked to, I could not understand that kid.
I had no idea what that kid said.
I had no idea what
but
he said.
But something about, he really wants this, and then he wants to, he promises he won't bury it in the yard.
Yeah.
I heard, like, backyard.
I heard nothing of what this kid said, but then the mom's all angry, like, what are you talking about? That's not available anywhere.
But that's the thing, like, that has to be the worst feeling on Christmas, is knowing, like, there's no more Furbies.
Yeah.
And
or
having
it's like
to go
your
home.
Kid really wants something, and it's like, you can't find it.
Right. And then have Santa be like, yeah, totally, you can find this.
Just write, like, an IOU from Santa.
Right.
That's gotta be the worst.
But then Santa watches, Kris Kringle watches the toy market.
Yeah.
Which I was like...
Yes, and he has a little notebook.
Amazing.
Like,
and
oh
he knew
gosh.
That you could get it at another department store and the sins are there.
Yeah. And then so now everyone's suspicious, because why is Macy's doing that?
But... ultimately, everyone is overjoyed. And it is good marketing.
It is good marketing. Because, like, you don't, like, when it's like when you go into a store and someone's like, oh, excuse me, can I help you? And you're like, oh, no, thank you, I'm good. And then they keep bothering you. I'm like, I'm going somewhere else. Because now you keep getting me to try, like, it just, you know, it is good marketing.
But it's helpful. And it would, like, even though I couldn't get it here because you were so helpful, I would go back if there was something I needed.
Yeah.
So... I like that.
It's good marketing.
Totes good marketing. And Mr. Macy sees that.
Yeah. Oh, but before that, after the kid we can understand, a little Dutch orphan
comes. I have the translated dialogue.
Oh my gosh, you do? Okay. So, leading up to this, the little skeptical girl is watching, like, she went up, the neighbor took her to talk to Santa Claus, and she's like, I don't think you're Santa Claus. Yeah, Susan. And then, so she's watching Santa interact with this little girl, and the mom's like, she's Dutch. We just adopted her. She saw you at the parade, and I told her that you won't be able to talk to her. But, like, she kept asking. I didn't know what else to do. And then Santa talks to her in Dutch, and that's when I had wrote down our hearts grew 10 sizes. Because, oh my gosh, that one, her little two front teeth missing. Oh, it was precious.
And she had pigtails.
Yeah.
I actually teared up a little bit because I just got so happy.
And it's like, bear in mind, readers, neither of us are really what you would call kid people. I think that's a safe assumption.
Yes.
Yeah. But, ah, oh, this girl, it was...
Here's the thing.
This was a heartwarming film.
Here's the thing. I will say my heart is a little dark and cold and frozen, but I just love good Santas. I just love Christmas.
Yeah, they're so good.
But I hate opening Christmas gifts. I hate getting things on Christmas.
Why?
I don't like people giving me things for Christmas.
That's
like...
That's a little weird.
I know. But I love giving gifts. I love... picking out the best gifts and giving it to someone. I love going to see Santa. I love seeing Christmas decorations. I hate Christmas decorations in the sense if I have to put them up.
Oh, that's fine because I'm going to do the Christmas decorations.
Awesome. But I just like, when it's done great, I love it. I don't know. I just get like, it makes me all warm and fuzzy and nostalgic. But apparently, according to IMDb,
okay,
the untranslated dialogue
or the translated dialogue.
Oh, sorry. The translated dialogue is that Santa asks the child what she wants for Christmas. And the girl says she doesn't want anything. She already got her Christmas gift because she was adopted by her new mom.
I'm going to cry. Oh my gosh.
So apparently that's what it says, but that's IMDb. Take it with a grain of
salt. I really hope that's true.
Oh. So that's the thing.
Empire, IMDb debunk this.
IMDb debunk this.
Yeah. No, it's IMDb debunk because it's B starts. Yeah, huh? Yeah.
But so that's what she says. So I think hands down, I felt that that was the most.
That was the most heartwarming thing in
that
the
was
entire.
The most, yes.
The entire movie was that little Dutch orphan 20 minutes in.
Because I think at that point you were like, I don't know if he's Santa Claus, but like he's totes Santa Claus.
Yeah.
And then at that moment when he speaks Dutch to this little girl and you see her smile.
Yeah.
And you see the mom just like
especially
overjoyed.
Because it's like, it's not, I mean, it's not one of like the, you know, if it was like French or Spanish or German or something, I feel like, oh, they did, like, just an obscure enough of a language where it's, like, not a lot of people speak this.
Right. It's not taught in public school.
Yeah, it's not taught in public schools. You run into, like, you ask 50 people on the street and maybe one of them will speak Dutch. You know, it's, like, it's not, yeah, not part of standard curriculum. So, yes. Now,
but, yeah, that's when you go,
this is real Santa. This is Santa.
That's the end of the movie. That's
the end of the movie. So then the little girl is like, hey, mom.
Susan,
yeah, goes up to her mom and says, like, hey, mom, I really think this is Santa Claus. And so she calls him in and, like, gets his employment card.
Here's the thing. Doris is kind of a dick.
Yeah,
I love Doris.
Like,
but, like,
I have written down fun sucker.
Why does she gotta, like, bust Santa Claus's balls?
It's like, you can't let your 7-year-old. She's never told her 7-year-old fairy tales.
No.
That blows my mind. Okay, and I would just like to thank the editor for lingering on the employment card long enough for us to read all of it. I really appreciated that, because we could read all of it, and it was funny.
I really am going to write down, next time I have to fill in my next tip can.
And write down comment.
Comment. Blitzen.
How old are you? Like, as old as my tongue, and but not as a little older than my teeth.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, just, God. Yeah, so I was very happy that we got to read all of it.
Yeah.
But
here's the thing. I'm not judging Doris.
No.
I feel like she's very good.
She's doing the best she can.
But the thing is, she did hire a drunk to play Santa Claus.
Well,
I don't really know what. I trust her on a whole scale.
I don't think she knew, because based on just the general, like, looking at everyone else, like, the psychiatrist, quote-unquote, who's working at Macy's, I don't think background checks were quite up to scratch back then. So maybe it was like, oh, do you have experience playing Santa?
Okay.
Yup. And she was like, okay, great. You know, I think she had a little too much on her plate, and then it was like, and then she meets him on the day of parade, and it's like, oh, fantastic, he's a drunk. I don't think it was pre-knowledge. But yeah, so now everyone is debating whether Kris Kringle is crazy. But if he's only a little crazy like the politicians, apparently that's okay, says the head of the toy department.
Boomch.
Yeah.
So they give Kris Kringle a psych test.
Yes.
He passes.
Yeah.
But to make him suitable for Macy's, they're like, we need to find your room, and someone has to transport you to and from work.
Yes, because he is an old guy, and, like, he was living in an old folks home.
In Great Neck.
Yes, and the doctor there was like, he's heartless. Yes, he does believe he's Santa Claus, but he's harmless. Mr. Sawyer, the guy at Macy's who gives these tests, is all upset because Kris Kringle was like, oh, I know how to do these tests. And then he says, like, what did he say? He's like, who was the first? He gives a fake test, or he's playing both with people, and he's like, who's the first president? And then he just drops some, like, random information.
Oh, who's his vice president?
Yeah. And he's like, I bet Mr. Sawyer doesn't know that. It's like, I bet he doesn't know that.
I don't.
We didn't know that. Yeah, so the head of the toy department gets his wife drunk and convinces her to let
Be Mrs. Shellhammer when I grow up.
The thing is, though, it's like, you look at that, and it's like, you know what? That's a good marriage. When she was, like, just moving the photos down, she's like, oh, thank you, sweetie. Like, you know that no one, they just love each other, and they're just having fun. I like this.
He did make a triple martini.
Yeah.
Like, legit, that will mess you up.
And the thing is, those were tiny glasses. So, he must have just, what's in a martini?
Gin.
Gin and, but is there other stuff in a martini?
It's like gin and vermouth.
It's just been straight gin.
I was a triple martini is straight
she
gin.
She must just get straight gin with an olive.
And the gin is like paint thinner. I can't. Ugh.
Gin's alright.
It's like paint thinner.
Yeah, so the wife agrees for Kris Kringle to stay with them, but the neighbor has already been like, you know what, Chris? I like you. You stay with me. So Chris,
go ahead.
Oh, I was like, so Chris is staying with the neighbor now.
Right. And together, they make a pact.
Chris and Fred make a pact where Chris is like, I'll convince the kid that Christmas is real, and you go get the mom. And Fred's like, got it. Good. We're on it. But when he's talking to the little girl, and he's explaining imagination to her.
Oh my gosh.
And he was like, you know, Britain nation... And French nation, this is imagination. I love it. Ugh, it's punny.
It is punny.
Yeah, and so then he's teaching the girl how to be a monkey. And throughout this entire conversation of like, oh, where is Chris going to live? In the background, you just hear the little girl going, and then it's like the vines or like when a baby is going, and they put like the blah, 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 like that. It's like that, just randomly in the background, popping up this little girl.
Yeah, it was ruining the mood.
It was hilarious.
But I did like the monkey noises.
Yeah, and it kept on, like, put your tongue in front of your teeth, and now talk, that's impossible.
Yeah, I couldn't decide if he said bottom teeth or top teeth, so it's like,
Okay, well, it's really hard to do it with your top teeth, so I vote bottom.
Alright, well, I'm not gonna go.
Okay. Jury has
spoken. Next time we go bottom into teeth. Imagination.
Yeah. So, yes. Now I have down, get excited, roomies. Santa Claus.
Roomies for life.
And the lawyer next door are roomies. Yeah, so then Santa is tucking Susie into bed. And she's chewing gum in bed, which was driving me nuts. And he's like, oh, Susie, what do you want for Christmas? How can I convince you that I'm Santa Claus? And this is where my heart broke, because Susie wanted a house.
That was her.
It was precious. She has it torn out in a magazine, and she wants a swing in the backyard, and she wants a house for Christmas. Gosh, I didn't write down notes for a little bit, Mile. I really missed her amazing x-ray machine. because now the other toy stores are in on the same advertising, quote-unquote, campaign.
Department stores.
Department stores, yes.
Macy's isn't just a toy store.
Yeah.
By Kris Kringle offering price matching, he revolutionized the marketing for the season. So it was goodwill marketing, where if we don't have it, we'll send you somewhere that does.
Yes.
So Santa revolutionizes it, and then Alfred comes back into the picture.
Yes.
And Alfred mentions that he's been going to Mr. Sawyer for therapy sessions. Yes,
who is the man who gives the competency tests, who is not a licensed psychiatrist. No. But Alfred is a simple man, and it's like, oh.
He's 17.
Yeah, he's 17. That's the thing. He's 17. When he said that, I have written down. I forgot that back in the day, that was like, oh, he's 17. He's a grown man. Like, he's got a job, and he's probably, like, supporting his family, and he's 17. But, yeah.
Yeah, so he was going to Sawyer, and because Alfred's one joy in life was being Santa at the YMCA, because he loved giving gifts and seeing the Christmas look on their faces.
He likes making little kids happy.
Right, which I love that description of the Christmas look.
Yeah.
Like, I really love that. And Sawyer said that he was only doing that because it was of a guilty conscience.
Yes. So, Santa, Kris Kringle, is like, wait a second, something doesn't add up here. And then goes to talk to Mr. Sawyer. Where I said, oh, here comes Santa. Here comes Santa Claus. Right down Santa Claus Lane. And he ends up hitting... Okay, see, the whole thing when they were... when Mr. Sawyer gave Kris Kringle the competency test, one of his arguments against him being Santa Claus was like, well, he always carries that cane. What if he gets violent? And then what does Chris do but bop Mr. Sawyer in the head with the cane... And give him a bruise. And the Mr. Sawyer, like, hams it up. And, oh, he's unconscious. And, oh, this old guy knocked him out. So now Santa has to lawyer up. Basically.
Well, Santa they, Sawyer admits that he was attacked to Mr. Shellhammer and Doris.
Yes.
And then they decide that they need to commit Santa. So Santa gets committed, and yeah. he is so disheartened that he
yeah.
Sorry. That he deliberately messes up his test.
Yes.
So then he calls Fred and gets Fred to be his lawyer.
Mm-hmm.
And then they start the trial.
Yes.
To see whether or not this man really is Santa Claus. And somehow the trial, this is what where I got confused, because the trial is supposed to be, is Kris Kringle competent?
Yeah, and it
to
turned,
live on his own.
That's, well, because what happened later in the trial was, like, the prosecution asked, like, I demand a ruling of, is this man, like, is there substantial proof that this man is Santa Claus, is how it turned. And that's later on, because it's, like, it did start out, is this man sane? And then they had the hearing where he claimed that he was Santa Claus. So then that question of he claims he's Santa Claus, is he sane, became, like, the question, is he Santa Claus, became the hinge on ruling whether he's sane or not. And then the prosecution was like, I demand a ruling, I need competent proof that this man, I need proof from a higher power that this man is Santa Claus. So that's how the prosecution set it up.
Okay.
So the way of telling whether he was sane or not became, is there proof that he's Santa?
And everyone on this trial hates themselves for being a part of this trial. And yeah. everyone hates them.
No one's happy to be in this room except for Santa and the lawyer.
Who, and Fred.
Yeah, and Fred. He's like, oh, he's doing the right thing. But so before all this happened, they had a hearing. And I said, written down that I want a buddy action movie called Santa and His Lawyer.
Terrible name.
Shut up. I was like, I would watch that. At least a web series or something. And then, like, so this gets out to the press. And the newspaper titles, when it was all K's, I thought that was Calamity Cries Kitties. It was funny. Yeah, so the way that they then prove, where it's like, we need proof from a higher power that this man is
oh, we're
the
skipping
real
to the
Santa Claus. We kind of already did with the question about the okay. trial. Do you have anything to say in the interim? Mm-hmm. Was that Susie writes a letter to Kris Kringle to cheer him up. And she addresses it to where he's staying.
To the courthouse.
Yes, to the courthouse. And then the post office sees this and is like, that's funny, this is a real address. I know, we have thousands of letters to Santa Claus. Just addressed to Santa Claus that we don't know what to do with. This happens every year. Here's a real address, let's send them all to this address. This is brilliant. Which, I mean, yes, good on their part.
Yeah, I mean, you gotta get rid of them, yeah.
Yep. So, that saves the day. Because the defense attorney, Fred, now he has substantial proof. And he goes up with three letters. And is like, look at these three letters. And then the judge says, you know, and the prosecutor are like, oh, three letters is hardly proof. Put them on the desk. And then, like, 20 guys come in.
21 bags.
21 bags enter the court. You counted? Oh, good.
IMDb counted.
Oh, okay. Yeah, 21 bags of letters enter the courtroom, and they pile it all on the judge's desk. And I liked the way that the judge framed it, because this judge, the reason why he was doing all this was because he was up for re-election, and he didn't want to be publicly hated. But he never came out and said, yes, this man is Santa Claus. And I liked how he did that because it was so, like, he never said that he believed that he was Santa Claus. He just said, well, if the post office sends yep. him letters, then I will not dispute it. It was such, like,
he completely got out of it scot-free.
Yeah, he completely got out of it, where you can look back on that transcript and be like, yes, no one ever said that this man is Santa. They just said, well, the post office is sending him mail, so we're not going to dispute that. Which I found amusing. Yeah, and so then he's Santa. Apparently. Everyone's happy. He declines dinner with the Walkers. That was the last name?
Yep. Because it was Christmas Eve,
yeah,
so he has work to do.
Yep, so he has work to do. But Susie didn't get her house.
Well, she did. Because they all go over to the old folks' home for...
Oh, for the Christmas breakfast.
For breakfast. And that Alfred is now Kris Kringle's assistant.
Yes.
Which was adorable.
Yeah, it was so cute.
And then Kris Kringle gives Fred and Doris directions for how to get home. And it turns out while they're driving, they pass the house that Susan tore out of the magazine.
Yeah. So then she just runs into the house.
It had a for sale sign.
It did. It did have a for sale sign. It was unlocked, so.
So, yeah. She goes screaming into the house, screaming about this is the house that she wanted. Yeah.
And then the mom's like, honey, we can't just run into people's homes. Sweetie, come back.
There was a whole lot of, like, what is going on?
Yeah.
Like, and then, like, Doris and Fred kiss, and they, like, admit that their relationship, and that they hint that they're going to buy the house.
Because, like, well, we can't disappoint Susan.
That's the thing.
We got to get married.
Like, they had to buy a house to get this.
But then they see Kris Kringle's cane in the corner, and like, oh, it can't be. Which, I mean, to be perfectly honest, it's a pretty nondescript cane. But
it's legit Kris Kringle.
Yes, it is. Legit Kris Kringle's. Yay, Santa. Like, that's the end of the movie. But, like, that's their whole... and I'm sure they do actually love each other, but just the fact that they're like, well, we can't disappoint Susie.
But no, he does say, like, they do apologize to each other.
Yes, they do.
And kind of like, I always believed in you kind of thing, and I like your common sense, and...
You know, my life could use a little whimsy.
And he's like, mine could use a little common sense.
Yeah.
And then they fall in love, it's so lovely.
Yes, it is good. And I did like how, because like their love story goes throughout the movie, but it was never like the main focus of it.
No.
It was about Santa Claus.
That's the thing, it's like,
No, this is not a romantic comedy, this is a Christmas movie.
Even though it came out during the summer.
It did?
Yeah, that's why it's not called A Christmas Miracle on 34th Street.
Oh, really?
It's just called A Miracle on 34th Street.
Why didn't they release it in December?
It was nominated for an Oscar, though.
And good out.
Won.
For what?
Well, the dude playing Santa won for Best Supporting, and then I think it was nominated for Best Picture.
Hold on, I want to...
But it's like that and The Wonderful Life are like the only Christmas movies. And maybe The Bishop's Wife, I think, are like the only Christmas movies to ever be nominated.
It won 3 Oscars. Best Actor in a Supporting Role, Best Writing Original Story, and Best Writing Screenplay. And it was a nominee for Best Picture.
That's the thing. Oh, apparently there were...
It won a Golden Globe.
Oh, there were 2 Christmas films nominated for Best Film at the 1947 Academy Awards.
What were they?
Miracle on 34th Street and The Bishop's Wife.
This, when it goes to things, it says 1948 awards.
This is 1947.
Well, okay, but if it came out in the summer of 1947, it would have been nominated for the Oscars that were in the winter of 1948.
Okay. Apparently, it was nominated with this and The Bishop's Wife, and they join It's a Wonderful Life as the only 3 Christmas movies to ever be nominated.
Very nice.
Yes.
It won 2 Golden Globes for Best Supporting Actor again and Best Screenplay. And then it won Best Screenplay at an International Film Festival. Hmm. National Film Preservation Board, National Film Registry winner in 2005.
That's the thing. This film is good. And even in the remake, Richard Attenborough is Santa. And that, like, any person that has played Santa has been a good Santa.
Yeah.
Like, that's Richard Attenborough is amazing.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
Oh, good job.
I think that was a TV version.
Yeah, it was a made-for-TV version.
I don't know who played Santa then, but I know Richard Attenborough was in that one. Apparently it was Sebastian Cabot.
In 1973. What else do I know him from?
Sebastian Cabot?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Hold on. Oh, he's the narrator of Winnie the Pooh. Oh, my God. Oh, he's Bagheera the Panther in the Jungle Book.
Oh, interesting.
He's a narrator of my Winnie the Pooh. Not the weird stuff they have now. Narrator in the... He's done a lot of voice work. He has a lovely voice, though. He had a lovely voice.
Oh, weird. Mm-hmm. I'm looking at the remake of Miracle on 34th Street, and it's 100% different.
Really?
Yeah. Like, there's no Fred.
The lawyer?
Yeah. Dylan McDermott plays Brian Bedford, and Macy's didn't allow their name to be used in this.
Oh.
And apparently, the kid, Susan, asked for a little brother when she sees Santa.
I don't like it.
No, that's the thing. I was like, I feel like I did... Yeah, so...
Remake anyways. Is completely different. Don't watch that one. Watch the original.
No, watch it. Richard Attenborough is good. Anyway, so that was A Miracle on 34th Street.
Yep.
So now to sum up, if now that it's the Christmas season, let's say that you're at a swank holiday party and someone just happens to come up to you and say, what do you think about The Miracle on 34th Street? The 1947 version.
And you can say, wow.
Wow. I have lots of thoughts.
You have written down... Those are my notes. I mean, you should know the whole, like, it's actually, it's not about a man pretending he's Santa Claus, because I kind of thought, like, I wasn't, before I watched this, I wasn't entirely sure whether it was actual Santa Claus or not, but, like, no, it's actual Santa Claus in there. You should know it's Macy's. And, what do you think?
I feel like that's kind of it. I mean, as long as you know the basic plot, there's no really in-depth analysis of this one that we could go into. Yeah, Macy's plays a big thing. I feel like just based on this movie alone, I want to go shop at Macy's.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sure Macy's got a huge amount of press from this.
Yeah.
Which
is always, like, a little strange why Macy's wouldn't allow its name to be used in the remake.
The 90s were a different time. But yeah, I feel like you need to know, like, the basic plot. Like, he is Kris Kringle. Like, yeah. This is Santa Claus. You need to know that it takes place at Macy's.
In New York.
It is A Miracle on 34th Street. They go to Santa Land, which has improved dramatically.
There's, like, a whole maze now. It's not a maze.
You get on the train to go to the North Pole. You go to the North Pole.
It's very nice.
It is really cool.
We're gonna go.
My God. Don't mess with my Santa Land.
Go on a weekday, guys. Well, it's crowded.
We've never gone on a weekday.
Yeah, I know. But I say every time I'm there. The one time I was there, I was like, I wish I could go on a weekday.
You didn't know
you get a little button.
You do. I have a button from every year from the last 4 years.
It's very fun.
So
is the overgrown child. Anyway.
What else am I going to do? Sit at home?
No. Get the Christmas spirit.
Yeah, so I think that's really... Yeah. We only have two this time.
Yeah. Just Santa Claus, Macy's.
Yeah.
If you want to, like... You know, I mean, this is one where it's like, I don't think you have to have seen this one.
I will say, I mean... Just based on the other Christmas movies?
Yeah.
I feel like I would rather watch this again than watch another Christmas movie.
Yeah. Well.
I mean, that, but not my favorites.
No, this definitely isn't, it's probably one of my favorite live action Christmas movies, for sure. But honestly, if someone was like, oh, we need to watch a Christmas movie, I'd be like, you know what, let's watch...
The Grinch.
Or the Frosty movie, or Rudolph. I would much rather watch any of those than this one again. But live action one, it's this one or Elf. Like,
I hate Elf.
Oh, I like Elf.
I hate Elf. Elf is good one time. It's not good the second or third time.
I like Elf.
Elf is like eating Captain Crunch with sugar sprinkled on top.
Yep, it's delicious.
Oh, it makes you sick to your stomach.
It's like, especially compared, like, we always on Christmas, because A Christmas Story is on 24/7, like, always end up watching that again. And I would much rather watch this than A Christmas Story.
Yeah.
Like, much rather. I can probably quote most of A Christmas Story just because it's always on TV. Like, why isn't this one on 24/7? That would be a much better choice.
AMC, make it happen.
Yep.
So, I really enjoy this. I would highly recommend watching it.
Yeah.
I can't vouch for the 94 version. I vaguely remember it.
Yeah.
Like, I know Richard Attenborough is in it.
I just think it's much better her asking for a house than a little brother. You know, I think it's much more symbolic.
Yeah. I mean, I like the house.
Yeah. Because I think it's more symbolic of them just being, like, a family instead of, like... I mean, because she looks around her and she's like, oh, I already have a complete family. I just want a real home to put it in. Instead of, like, oh, my family's not complete until there's someone else here. Like, no, she has her family and she's happy with it.
That's the thing. And she called him Uncle Fred.
Yeah, she did. So he's already part of the family. She just wants a house.
Yeah. She just wants a backyard and a swing.
Yeah. No, that's just like, she just, that's kind of her just being like, she wants stability. You know?
She is
the most,
like, Natalie Wood was 8 years old when she filmed this. So she was 8 years
old. And that thing, I mentioned kind of halfway through the movie where it's like, you know, some child actors end up being all right. But man, this girl just started off good.
Yeah. Yep. Natalie Wood's good. She's a good one.
Yep, good one.
All right. Well, so that was A Miracle on 34th Street.
Yep. Next time, we're going to watch White Christmas, right?
Yeah.
Because I haven't seen that.
Yeah, A White Christmas starring Bing Crosby, Danny Kaye, Rosemary Clooney.
Now, I have seen the end scene of this. We'll talk about this next episode.
Okay.
Yeah. See how it ends. That's where they sing, right?
They sing through the entire thing.
No, but at the very end, they're all, like, the girls are in the white dresses with the poof at the bottom, and there's, like, fake snow. I think I've seen the last scene of this movie. I'm not sure. We'll discuss it next time. I feel like
that's a scene in the movie, yes.
I feel like, okay, I feel like I've seen the last thing, but that is, like, the only... I've listened to the music a ton.
I love it.
Yeah, I love it. I like Bing Crosby.
Sisters, I run out of the... Sorry.
Yeah, okay, see... My dad has all sisters, my mom has all sisters, and I have all sisters. Like, we have sung that song so many times. Anyway, yeah, we should talk about this next week.
Right, so we're going to watch White Christmas.
Yeah.
Which is an oldie but a goodie.
Yeah.
And then we have a real kicker for the Christmas edition.
Yes.
For the Christmas Day one.
So, come back next time to find out what that one is.
So, we'll see you on December 10th with A White Christmas. So for the time being, we will see you on December 10th with A White Christmas. Mm-hmm. And this is
You Haven't Seen. I'm Debbie.
And I'm Ashley. Thank you for listening. And we'll see you on the 10th. As always, be sure to, check us out on Twitter at YHS_podcast. And check us out on Tumblr at youhaventseen-podcast.tumblr.com. Yep. So be sure to check us out there. As always, you can please rate and review the podcast. Be sure you can also email us.
Yep.
Chat us on Twitter. But yeah, we're looking forward to getting into the Christmas spirit.
Yep.
We
love Christmas. So anyway, that's all. See you next time.
See ya.